Let us pray. Once again, God, we've heard the wonderful news. News that seems almost impossible to believe. But your people have trusted and believed it through down through the ages. And we pray that you will give us hearts and minds to know it as the truth, to feel it in our heart of hearts, and to live it in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Right. Now what are you going to do with that? I recently became aware of what some people in the world are doing with it. There's this worldwide phenomenon called the Resurrection Sunday Dance. You can Google Resurrection Sunday Dance and see the dance from last Easter in the big square in Budapest, Hungary. Over 1,000 people of faith of all ages dancing and to express their joy at the good news that Christ is risen. And a new dance with new steps is happening in cities all over the world today. It's about the joy of the good news, the joy that breaks out of prisons, enables us to break out of the prisons of our everyday lives. Can you imagine grieving the death of a person that's meant much to you most of your life, and then suddenly finding him or her alive again? That's the joy of Mary in our story from the Gospel of Matthew this morning. And she runs to the disciples to announce the news. She doesn't keep it to herself. She goes and she tells. Now, Luke says the disciples heard the women and considered it an idle tale. You know, the women were upset and confused sort of thing. John has the women telling the disciples, and then Peter and the beloved disciple have a race to see who can get to the tomb first, and they go in and look around and say, oh, he has risen, and then they go home. Mark just has the woman fleeing from the tomb in fear. Four different gospels. And four different responses to the Easter proclamation that Christ has risen. Now, what do we say? Do we say, I don't believe that it's a factual event. I really don't believe in resurrection of any kind, but I like what Jesus said and did. Or do we say, we believe it, but, you know, we just go about living our daily business. Or do we say we believe it and then do something with it? Now you might say, okay, Tom, what are we supposed to do with it? What are we supposed to do with this proclamation that Christ is risen? And that's an important question, especially when you are looking at Matthew's gospel. Of the four gospels, Matthew is the only one that tells the disciples to do something. To go to Galilee, and there they will see Jesus. And what happens when they go to Galilee? Well, we read the end of chapter 28 of the Gospel of Matthew, and we hear these words. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The disciples go to Galilee They see Jesus. And then they are given a charge. You know, up to this point, Jesus has been telling everybody, come and see, come and see. When John the Baptist was in prison and he wasn't sure that Jesus was the Messiah, he sent a couple of his disciples, they go ask him if he's the one or if we should wait for another. And they did, and Jesus said to them, come and see. When Andrew followed him in the beginning and he asked Jesus, where are you staying? Jesus says, come and see. All throughout his ministry, Jesus was telling people, come and see. But now, Jesus says, go and take. Jerry Gebel of the blog One Family Outreach writes concerning this. Here is where the gospel must always lead us. From come and see to go and take. We cannot have one side of the gospel message without the other. If our come and see does not lead to go and take, then we're not obedient followers. Go and take the news of the resurrection with you. There's a world out there that needs this news. And it's not very far out there. It's just right outside these walls. A number of years ago, the Saturday Evening Post ran a cartoon showing a man about to be rescued after he had spent a long time on a deserted island. The sailor in charge of the rescue team stepped onto the beach from the boat, handed the man a stack of newspapers. He said, compliments of the captain, the sailor said. He'd like for you to glance at the headlines to see if you'd still like to be rescued. The headlines are no different. There is a world that needs the Easter proclamation, and it demands to be shared. With this news, you have the power. You yourselves have the power to resurrect your own life, but also the lives of others. Or you can stay on the deserted island or in a prison of the ordinary life. But then, you know, the good news really isn't good news. Or, like Mary, you can let this incredible news charge your life with hope and a deep sense of joy and just go and shout it out to the world. In his day, Nikolai Ivanovich Bukharin was one of the most powerful men on earth. He was the Russian communist leader who took part in the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, was the editor of the Soviet newspaper Pravda, and was a member of the Politburo. His works on economics and political science were big sellers. The story is told about a journey he took from Moscow to Kiev in 1930. To address a huge assembly on the subject of atheism. Addressing the crowd, he aimed his heavy artillery at Christianity, hurling insult and argument and proof against it. And an hour later, be grateful he's not speaking. An hour later, he looked out on what seemed to be the smoldering ashes of people's faith. And he said, are there any questions? Almost daring someone to ask the question. And the silence in that big hall was deafening. And then one man stood up, looked to his left, looked to his right. And then he shouted out the ancient greeting known in the Russian Orthodox Church, Christ is risen! And everyone in mass stood up and said, Christ is risen indeed! God calls us into the future to proclaim that message in however way we can proclaim it. As minister and author, Reverend John Purdy writes, God goes ahead of us God is not in the historic past, locked in the ancient time when people believed in miracles and spirits and demons, nor is God shut up in our personal past, along with our sins, our youth, our wasted opportunities, our dead parents, our friends, our childhood certainties, our idealism, our first love. God is not locked up in all of that in the past. God is going ahead of us and with us now, in our future, as the one who still forgives sins, frees paralytics, feeds the hungry, makes peace, washes our feet, raises the dead. Mary experiences joy and fear because she grasped, or was grasped, by the knowledge that God had gone ahead. God waits for her and for us to get moving. So, a question for us today. Will we let the joyful shout linger in this beautiful flower-perfumed air of this space and time until it dissipates? Or will we go out and shout the good news that Christ is risen to the powers of the world that would deny that news? And they exist all over. Will we proclaim the resurrection of Christ? Will we share it to set the captives free? To give sight to the blind? To free the oppressed? To feed the hungry? What are you going to do with the news? Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah! Amen.